Today's date is July 28th, 2015 at 10:02 a.m. I am Jamil Russell, the interviewer. The oral historian is Troy Cotton. The project is titled Oral Histories on Plant Closings in Milwaukee. Okay, Mr. Cotton, I'd like to start by asking, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Troy Cotton, Sr. I'm married, have three kids, have three grandkids. I'm 51 years old. I'm a full-time minister. And I'm love sports, family-oriented gentleman. I love life, love peace. I love having peace, and love people, mm-hmm. love people, and just enjoy life.
Okay. Do you tell me about your educational background, like your high school and stuff?
High school. Went to Bayview High School. My first 2 years of high school. Freshman and sophomore year, then I transferred to Marshall, John Marshall High School, and got in a broadcasting program. And so I did my junior and senior year at John Marshall High School.
Okay, you said when you broadcasting program, was that something that you actually wanted to do, or
at the time? Yes, at the time, yes. I thought I wanted to. I was really into sports, especially basketball. And I always liked the broadcasting aspects of like a newscaster, telling sports and stuff like that, or anchor. So I wanted to take broadcasting. And then once I got into broadcasting, it was a kind of the working the cameras and stuff like that. So I learned all that in high school.
Okay. Are you currently employed?
Yeah, I'm a full-time minister.
Okay. Yes. How's that?
You know what? It's great. The church is really... changed my life, you know, and being full-time, I have my own, as of right now, I have my own Christian t-shirt line called Caution Gear, and so I run my own business in a full-time ministry.
Okay, all right. And do you like, what do you like about it specifically? Is it the environment, the spirit that provokes?
Reaching people, helping people. That's my job. I consider myself as a life coach, and God changed my life, and I think if he can change my life, he can change anybody's life. So I just love helping people and seeing people lives change.
Okay. Can you tell them about your family, like your kids and what school they go to in your community?
Yes. My oldest son, matter of fact, he just got the his name is Ravante Dansler. He just got the head coaching job at Vincent High School. He's a full-time teacher at Vincent High School. And then my youngest son is Troy Cotton Jr., and he's assistant director at the Hillside Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. and he's also a financial advisor.
Okay. All right. Back when the plants closed, can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, how did you find out about the plant closings?
Well, I used to work at, in 1990, I used to work at Master Lock, and that was kind of... The plant that they didn't close, but they moved most of the jobs over to Mexico. They was gonna move them over to Mexico and China, mm-hmm. so they kind of cut back, and I was affected in that cutback. We was gonna lose our jobs, and I left and went to the school system after then. But before then, with all the I've always considered Milwaukee as a factory heaven because there was so many factory jobs here in Milwaukee, and I've seen. Growing up on 24th and Keith, right by A.O. Smith. And when that plant closed, I just seen the neighborhood just change. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it really affected a lot of communities because it was people leaving Mississippi and Arkansas and things like that coming here to get a job because there were so many factory jobs mm-hmm. at that time back in the 70s and 80s. It was so many factory jobs, and you could leave one job today and get another job tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But then all the plants started leaving Milwaukee area, mm-hmm. and you can just tell the crime went up, the neighborhoods went down, and things like that. So I think it just affected the whole city as a whole.
Okay. Did crime rise around your neighborhood where you lived at and stuff like that? What changed that was out of the norm?
I don't know. I think crime, it came, the crime got more intense, and the just the neighborhood changed. It was more people lost their homes. Mm-hmm. So it was more renters. It wasn't as many homeowners. Mm-hmm. And whenever you have a neighborhood that you don't have any ownership, I think the neighborhood kind of goes down.
Okay. Was it like, what kind of crimes was it, like drugs-related crimes? Like
drug-related theft. Mm-hmm. And things like that, because people was just trying to, it seemed like they was trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, was no job, so people was trying to just figure out how they was going to make it. Mm-hmm. So with the frustration and things like that, I think that just changed the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're a full-time member of the church, so do you believe that the church helped you, like, basically keep your spirits up despite what was going on?
Yes. I believe having a spiritual background really helped balance everything out, because mm-hmm. when you're spiritual, you have something you can lean and depend on. There's mm-hmm. three phases in life. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or on your way into a storm. But I always like to say, when a storm of life is raging, we got a God that will stand by our side. So if you have a spirituality background, I think you have somebody you can take your problems to, instead of turning to drugs, or instead of turning to theft or robbery or anything like that. You can really have someone, a higher being mm-hmm. that you can depend on, mm-hmm. and that will give you peace.
When this happened, the plant closed and all this crime and theft started happening, did more people come to your church, or was it just basically the same amount of people?
I think it increased more, because I think people were afraid. I think when people are afraid, they seem to pray more, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of times, a lot of things happen for a reason, because a lot of time when the job was were plenteous, and we could get a job anytime we get ready, just wake up and go get a job that day or the next day, it seemed like we get complacent, and sometimes we get beside ourselves. Sometimes we forget all about God, mm-hmm. you know, and so God got his way of getting our attention to bring us back to maybe praying more.
Mm-hmm. Earlier you say you worked at Master Lock. How was that job?
You know what? I really enjoyed Master Lock when I was there. I thought it was a great environment, a great place to work, to provide for your family. It was an experience. It was a great experience.
What did you do specifically over there?
I was I worked on the assembly line, and also we built locks by hand, mm-hmm. some by machine, or sometime I was a tester, test the lock, make sure it's working right before it's packing up.
Mm-hmm. Was it like time consuming? Like, how long what your work day would be like?
Work day, I started off when I first started there, I started off on second shift, mm-hmm. Like from 3 to 11 at night. And then I didn't like second shift, because it seemed like when a lot of things, especially in the summertime, you know, it's hot outside and you got to go to work in the heat of the day. So then I posted for a job on third shift. So I did third shift, which they call the graveyard shift. I did third shift, which is from 11 to 7, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. So that was a difference.
Okay. Well, you said the environment was good. So was there any kind of like, negative effects that would, like racism or something like that, or discrimination? Did you experience any of that?
No. Okay. Not there. No.
That's a good job. Did Master Lock provide any pensions or stuff like that?
Yes, they had pensions. They had pensions. They had 401k and things like that. Good benefit package. And that was a thing that was, I think, we had a strong union. Mm-hmm. And I think Master Lock is still is still open now, but there is not the same as it used to be. When they was talking about moving the jobs to Mexico, I think they did that just to break the union, mm-hmm. Because the benefit packet was so good at Master Lock at one time. So my intake that they were going to move the jobs to Mexico just to break the union, so they wouldn't have to, because the insurance, the medical insurance, is one of the biggest issues that I think they got tired of providing, mm-hmm. you know. And so that was the big change. And once they moved the jobs to Mexico and it didn't work out the way, or China or wherever they went, it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work. They brought the jobs back, but all the people were gone. The union was broke, so they start hiring people through a temporary service, but they didn't have to pay them the full benefits that we were once getting.
Okay. Can you tell me like a little bit of time frame from when they left to China and Mexico and when they came back?
I was there from 1990 to 1999, so around 2000, 2001, I think that's when they started to make the change. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What was the wages like? What was the monetary amount of the pensions that you guys would receive at MassLock?
It's been so long ago, I don't really remember. But the wages were good. I mean, you were making at that time anywhere from $15 to $20 an hour, hourly wage, and at that time that was really good money. Anywhere from twelve to fifteen to twenty in that range. Okay. Area. Yes.
All right. Earlier you mentioned the union with MassLock. Can you tell me a little bit about the union?
Well, the union was very, very strong. Union was to fight for your, if you had rights or if you had, if you felt that you was being either discriminated against or anything like that, or you post for a job and you didn't think that it go by seniority. Mm-hmm. So if you think you were violated, union was just to fight for you to keep your rights in order.
Okay. Yep. When MassLock left to Mexico and overseas, when it came back, did you apply for the job over there?
No. At that time, I had left there and went to the school system. I was an educational assistant in the school system.
Okay. Yes. What school and how was it like?
It was great because I enjoy working with the youth. Mm-hmm. And everything. So it was at Samuel Clemens Elementary School. I worked there for about 13 years, and it was a good experience working with the youth, trying to just instill in them, going the right way, doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult trying to with the children and all? Were they hard to deal with, or was it just like easy sailing? Or
first starting off, it was pretty easy, but then it got kind of hard because the children have the community and the generations have changed. I believe that it starts at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and the parents have gotten younger, and there's no more teaching in the homes anymore. I think you shouldn't wait to get to school to be taught. I think it starts at home first. Mm-hmm. And then it moves to the school. Mm-hmm. So it was a little different from when I was growing up. The kids kind of changed.
Mm-hmm. What did you do to keep the plant closings and all that crime that was happening around the community? What did you do with your children to keep them distracted, basically?
Spent time with my children. I mean, I think a child needed parents in their life. You spend time with them, and you whether it's through sports or anything like that, to keep them active. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You say you like sports and you're involved in sports. Did you do that also with your in the school you're working in?
Yes, I was a basketball coach.
Okay.
Yes.
How was
yes.
that?
It was great. It was great. It was a great experience. My children got both of my sons got basketball scholarships through basketball, and they went on to get their degrees and everything like that. So they just used basketball as a vehicle. Mm-hmm. To open doors for them. And I think sports is great for that because it gives you a sense of something you belong to, a team or things like that. And I think it just helps out in the educational part.
Okay, when MassLock closed, did that like devastate you or anything like that? Did you feel like kind of depressed or felt like you wasn't like I could always say like useless or something like that?
Well, when they first talked about they were gonna move most of the jobs overseas, I mean, of course, because you that's your means of taking care of your family. I mean, it was a big blow when we first heard it, but having a spiritual background, I just felt that I'm just going to trust God that much more, and I believe He's going to make a way.
Mm-hmm. What sort of transportation would you have to get your job at MassLock and back? Do you drive a car or do you take a bus or something like that?
I have my own vehicle. I have my own car.
Okay. What were the short-term effects of the plant closings and on your family and community?
Well, a short-term effect is that when I left Masterlock to go into the school system, I wasn't making as much money. I took a pay cut. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't making as much money as it was before. The benefits in the school system was pretty good, but hourly wages was different. So I had to make some adjustments.
Mm-hmm. What were the long-term effects?
I would say long-term because you're you've been there for so long, you put all that time in, you give them your all in all. So it affects the way you live. I mean, you have to budget different. You have to, you have to cut back on things. You can't, when you used to making a certain amount and then you lose that income, and you have to make up for it somewhere else. It affects your whole life.
Mm-hmm. How did it affect your life specifically? Like you said, take a pay cut. So what did you guys do? Did you guys have to change your lifestyle basically to survive until you found a job that suffice?
Yes. I mean, when you're working at a place like Masterlock, you was used to maybe buying new cars, maybe having different stuff done to your home or things like that. So a lot of things like that you had to cut back on. You may have to downgrade in vehicles, maybe your payments, refinance and lower your payments and things like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel is your mission specifically as an African-American male? What do you believe is your mission in this world and during the plant closings in the community? What do you feel like that you had to do or prove to others to make them believe that everything will be all right?
Trust in God. Mm-hmm. Trust in God and being a living example and let people know that you have to have faith in God, because you can't have faith in a job. You can't have faith in people. You got to have faith in God, because people, jobs will let you down. They don't care about if your family going to eat or not or things like that. You can't put all your trust in a job, because they're going to do what's best for them. Mm-hmm. So you really have to have a spiritual background in order to survive.
Mm-hmm. How was the community in your church race-wise? Was it just like specifically black people coming over your church, or was it like white people or Mexicans, something like that?
It was a majority of African-American membership, but we do have some other ethnic backgrounds, at our church, but mostly African-Americans.
Why do you believe the Masterlock and other plants moved overseas? Why do you believe they chose to do that?
Cheaper labor. Mm-hmm. I believe cheaper labor. Okay. Yes.
Can you tell your opinion about what should be done to, that should have been done back then to help your community strive despite the plant closings? If you could have done something different, would you done something different, or is everything you did?
I don't know what could have been done different. I think it starts with the government and things like that, of how you let, because of the way Milwaukee was. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people remember all the industrial plants that were here and how they all left. I just don't see how you're having that many. And then all of a sudden they all gone. Mm-hmm. I think the government and the city, the mayors and things, I think that some should have been done to try to keep those jobs here, because it affected the whole city of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Did you receive any unemployment compensation after Masterlock closed down?
No, because I found a job right away.
Okay.
Yes.
What job did you find?
NPS.
NPS?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Was the wages about the same?
No, I took a pay cut.
Okay.
Yep, I took a pay cut.
Do you like what you did at NPS?
Yes, because I love working with the youth. So I was really blessed to find work right away after the downsizing at Masterlock. So I was blessed to find work right away. I wasn't making as much money, but it's still, I was able to survive.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Milwaukee and what happened in your experience with the plant closings? Is there anything important you think we should know or something like that?
No, I think I've covered it all.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Troy Patton.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.